We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. A lot of basketball to talk about. The men will be on the road this week against the Washington schools. The women at home Friday morning, actually, got like the kids' day, the annual affair where all the kids come, and it's a real interesting atmosphere, to say the least. And then in the third segment, we'll talk some water polo. The women's water polo team gets underway in about a week and a half with the Cal Classic. Joining us first and foremost is Justice Suing, the sophomore from Modern Day High School, originally from Honolulu, coming off a career-tying 27 points against the Arizona Wildcats last Saturday. The Bears head up to Washington and Washington State. Ironically, last year, Justice, you had two of your better games actually on this road trip. I think you had like 14 and maybe 8 at Washington State and then 27 against the Huskies in Seattle. So I guess you got to be pretty good about going back to two places where you played really well last year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to the trip. You know, we're looking to get our first couple wins up in Washington. And, you know, I'm really excited.
Washington State, tough place to play. Last year, Robert Franks put on quite a display with 10 three-pointers. What do you remember about that game?
I remember them making all their threes on us. But besides that, you know, we have a really solid game plan going into Thursday. And I'm feeling very confident as far as us getting the win that for our next game. And I'm just looking forward to it.
Tough place to play. Not usually a lot of fanfare, not a lot of excitement in the building. What's it like? You know, you go to a place like that, and then you go to a place like maybe Pauley Pavilion, where you got all the lights and the stars all around. Tell us about the difference in the two.
Yeah, pulling up to Pullman is a lot of just hills, and it's a little empty over there. But besides the fact we have to come in and be focused, you know, because I think because they won both games last year against us. So, you know, we can't take any games easy, especially this year, you know, how we're going. But, you know, as soon as we get a win, I'm not worried about us picking our momentum up and carrying it on throughout the rest of Pac play.
You know, in the four Pac-12 games so far, it seems as though the team's gotten off to pretty good starts. and had the lead or certainly been. And then at the latter stages of the first half, it's kind of slipped. What do you see going on in that period of time where the game kind of changes?
Yeah, I think it's just us lack of focus. Those little things that make a big difference because looking at the past games, I think we were actually like really close throughout most of it, especially in the first half, and it kind of slipped away just because of some minor mistakes that actually made a big difference towards the end, giving Arizona some momentum going into the second half, and ASU coming back in and getting one on us. So it just comes down to those little things, and we really focused on it this past couple of days, and I feel like I said I'm really confident going into these next couple of games.
Your game a year ago, your numbers were better actually in conference play than they were in the non-conference. And so far, history is repeating itself. Your numbers are better in conference play. Is there something about being in the conference and playing against guys you're familiar with and knowing kind of what they want to do and how they want to attack you that has led to those increased numbers?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always coming to the game with the same mindset, trying to be aggressive and really exploit mismatches and really just trying to get my team going. But in conference play, we are a little more familiar with who we're playing, and we're going against the same guy. So, I mean, we always have a game plan that we usually stick to, and it's worked for me, the past couple of games, and we're just trying to get a win right now, going into Pullman this week.
You're one of the conference leaders in scoring, and you're also one of the conference leaders in free throw shooting. This is an area where hard work over the summer has paid off. The other thing, you're shooting at like 87, 88%. The number one shooter in the league actually plays for Washington State, but he hasn't taken – in fact, nobody's taken as many free throws amongst the percentage leaders in the conference than you have. You've been to the free throw line 88 times so far this year, knocked down 77. What is it about your game that enables you to get that contact, get to the free throw line, and being so successful there?
I think I'm just a little bit of a mismatch problem for other teams. But, this past summer, the coaches were on me about getting in the gym and making my free throws. Because I was getting there last year, but I wasn't capitalizing on it. So I made a really big emphasis. And it's a really easy way to get me going, especially in the games. Knock down a couple free throws, and I'm in my flow, my rhythm. And, it just leads on throughout the rest of the game.
We've mentioned this on the broadcast a couple of times. Sometimes if a player's shot isn't falling from the perimeter, that getting to the free throw line is a good way to get going. And that appears to have been the case for you in a number of games. A couple of the other – Darius McNeil earlier this year, he was really struggling shooting, and he got to the free throw line. I can't remember which game it was, but that kind of set him off. What is it about getting to the free throw line and seeing one or two of those drop through the nets that get you going?
Yeah, I mean, basketball is a confidence game. So, seeing the ball drop through the net a couple of times is always going to give you that feeling. It gives you a little time to just focus on just your stroke for a minute. And once you see it go through the net, you want to see it go through it again. So, it leads to live play, too.
People that come and watch the games probably will see it more than games on TV. But you have an extremely high arcing shot, both from the field and the free throw line. And geometry would tell you that the higher the arc, the better the ball has a chance of going through just because of geometry. Is that something that you've always had?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, my shot's always been high arc. So, I mean, it's benefited me, since then. But, yeah, I mean, I've always just shot with a high arc. I never really, thought about it to, like, purposely shoot it that high. But it's just like my natural shot, and I've just stuck with it, trying to adjust it and make it more efficient.
You are one of four lefties on the team. I mean, that's a lot of guys. I mean, literally, it's 40% of the scholarship guys are lefties. Is that something that's noticeable in practices? Do you have to, when you defend the other guys that are lefties, is it more of a challenge? I mean, lefties are unique, it seems. They have the ability to get to the basket easier. I remember playing in high school, one of the kids on our team was a lefty. We had two kids. One kid was our leading scorer. The other guy was a good player as well. But it's like nobody can totally figure out the lefty for some reason.
Yeah, I feel like the lefties definitely have a little advantage, because especially play with a majority of people who are right-handed, It's just different. Like everything is just is like a mirror, and you have to really adjust to that. But I mean, for me, it really like pushes all of our defense in practice, especially knowing that our guys have different tendencies that are left-handed. So I mean, we have to be able to be on top of our game defensively, very active really to make sure that we lock in on defending.
Have you always been a lefty? Do you do everything left-handed?
No, I'm actually ambidextrous. Oh. So yeah, I mean, I like to dunk with my right hand. I write with my right hand, but I throw with my left and right. So I mean, it's all over the place. But I like to shoot with my left for sure.
You golfer at all? I mean, you golf left or right?
Oh, I golf right. Yeah.
You golf right?
Yeah. It's weird, huh?
My brother's the exact same way, though. I mean, he's a lefty. He writes lefty, but he shot basketball right handed. He's a right-handed golfer, but he wrote with his left hand. So I'm not. We have noticed that you do have the ability to score with either hand around the bucket. That's a big advantage, having that ability.
Oh, it is. I mean, I hear it a lot from the coaches on the opposing team to just force me right. But yeah. I mean, sometimes that'll work in my favor. But I always have to adjust. The opposing team always going to have their game plan for me, and I'm just we're just trying to get a win at the end of the day.
All right, this is the final week without classes. You've had, geez, four plus weeks. What have you? Yeah, I'm sure everybody's been saying that. What did you do to fill your time during those non-class periods?
The time that we've had free. I mean, this is just a lot of getting in the gym. Mm-hmm. Working on little stuff without overdoing our bodies, especially me. I mean, I really focus just making sure my body is up and ready to play, especially with pack play starting. Just want to make sure I have no injuries and to maintain my body. And then besides that, I just just kind of like hanging with the team, just more bonding with each other. And
so what do you guys do when you're chilling out? I mean, is it watching other games? Is it playing video games? What's everybody like? Bowling? I mean, what's everybody do?
Some of the guys are video gamers. So, they'll come to me and Grant's house, and we'll have a little competition there. And then other times, we'll just go watch a movie, or we'll golf, actually. So,
really?
Yeah, some of us will go and golf. But, depending on, what we're feeling that day, our team is very flexible, and we all like to spend time together.
Who's the best golfer?
Shoot, I'm going to have to say it's not me for sure. That's what I'm gonna go with. But I think it might be Jules. Jules is a really good golfer.
Really?
I think it's Jules and Jacob are the best ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that makes some sense in some regards. Yeah, those guys, I could see where they'd be pretty good golfers. You got the new semester coming up. Any class in particular looking forward to taking, or was there a class this last semester that you most appreciated?
The last class, from my last semester, the class I appreciated was this class called Plagues and Pandemics. Mm-hmm. It was just a rundown of all the different types of diseases and how it was controlled throughout the country and then different in other parts of the world. So I mean, I really appreciate learning that type of thing, learning how diseases work, health and how it's handled throughout the rest of the world. So yeah, that's one of the classes I like the most.
Do you have an interest in medicine at all, or just was it interesting to take something that's so unique?
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm trying to major in public health, so
oh, okay.
So yeah, I'm really interested in anything with the health, from the body to just to medicine to from everything. I don't have a specific a specific subject that I really want to get into yet, but definitely health is something I really like to look at.
Well, hopefully you will stay healthy and have a good trip up to the state of Washington this week against the Cougars and the Huskies. You're playing well. It's been fun watching you play. It's been fun watching individual guys improve over the course of last year. I mean, you're one of those guys. You can see the improvement. You're playing with confidence. And so that's kind of the fun part for us, to watch you guys get better each and every game and hopefully get a couple of wins this weekend. Appreciate you stopping by, and we'll see you in Pullman on Thursday.
Always, always, always good.
All right. Justice Suing, as the Bears take on the Cougars, we'll have the broadcast beginning at 6:30 on Thursday night, the pregame show, the tap shortly after 7. Then on Saturday, over to Seattle. Quick turnaround, a 2 o'clock start against the Huskies. We'll be on the air with the pregame show beginning at 1:30. Joining me now on Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, is C.J. West, 6'4", junior out of Bakersfield, California, not too far away, kind of halfway sort of between here and Southern California. But nevertheless, she's at Cal doing a good job this year for the Bears, who hope to turn things around this weekend against the Cougars and the Huskies. Friday morning, I guess we have the kids game. I always call it the Kids Bowl. And CJ, this will be your third time playing in front of this horde of young kids that come once a year. What is that experience like? What's it been like the last 2 years?
It's a crazy experience. It's loud. And I mean, like we talked about, it's a different kind of loud all the time. They're screaming, but it's a really good energy. And then when we run off the court, when we come on the court, they're standing there slapping our hands and things like that. And so they're smiling and everything. So that energy is really good.
And what's it like playing? And you do this, I guess, in the Pac-12 tournament or if you go to the NCAA tournament, but you play in the morning, late morning. I mean, what's that like getting up and getting ready to play a game that early?
Yeah, it's tough now, especially going from having a 7 p.m. Friday game to an 11 a.m. Friday game, but keeps us on our feet. The change is good, I think, but I don't know. I kind of like the games being earlier than 7 p.m., but we'll see.
That's an early wake-up call and an early breakfast for sure. Does class start, is it next week? Or it's next week. So this is the last week without having to worry about going to school. Well, what has the break been like for you?
It's been really good, honestly. I've been able to focus on basketball strictly. I've been able to focus on my health and things like that. So just being able to focus strictly on basketball and not have to worry about if I have a paper due tomorrow or if I have to do homework on the road, that's been good. But I just have to get ready for that.
And being on the semester system, you actually get a little bit more time than some of the schools on the quarter systems. You think about the Oregon schools and some of the other ones. They've been in class for a week plus now. So it is a good time to kind of reset things. And the team, quite frankly, needs to reset a little bit because I know you guys have played some incredibly – I'm talking about the conference right now – competitive games. I mean, you've had four games, and they've all been really close games. What's it going to take to get over the hump and win those?
I honestly think it's a mental thing because all of our games are within one possession or within a few points, and it's just that last few minutes, or maybe we had one quarter where we just weren't completely locked in, and so I think just being able to focus for the whole 40 minutes and do everything that we have to do right for 40 minutes is our biggest challenge.
I know it had to be frustrating in the Arizona schools because literally both of those games were there, and it's tough to win on the road, no question about it. They've got good fan support down there now. Just tell us, you know, the mindset of the team right now, 1-3 in the league, but you have an opportunity this week against the Cougars and the Huskies to get back to 500.
Right. I think we've gotten a lot closer, even though we've lost. I think it shows us what we need to get better at, and we've gotten closer. We're all getting on the same page about what our goals are, winning games, winning the next two games, our game plans, and we're all just trying to get better.
All right, give us your role on this team. Christine Enigwe, obviously an All-American, one of the best players in the country. She gets the lion's share of the minutes in the post. What is your role? What do you see as what you need to do when you get out there?
I see my role is pretty well-rounded. I think on defense, just I'm like a bigger body. So on defense, I have to body up and not give their posts any post touches. And then on offense, I think I've grown a lot from my freshman and sophomore year of having a bigger impact on offense, but just making sure that there's a flow always in offense. And it doesn't always have to mean scoring. It can mean setting really good screens or talking or getting someone else open or finishing a layup or getting a pass. So, yeah.
Or getting rebounds. And you're good at that. I mean, you've had some big rebounding games. What's the key to being a good rebounder?
Our post coach, Charmin, has really pump me up mentally and getting my head right into going to get every board, not seeing anyone in your way and just going up and getting it and just valuing each possession and the rebound. It keeps the possessions alive.
Was that tough to get your hands around? I mean, literally, I guess, and figuratively. Yeah. But to go for every ball on every time it goes up on the glass.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you're tired in general. So going up, sometimes you may be like, I'll just let that one slide. But once you realize the impact that it has, you get a lot more drive to go after it.
Yeah, no question about it. You had that big game out of St. Mary's, not too far away, and a big win out there. Team played really well in the non-conference, played well against UConn as well. And so you guys have played well. It's not like you guys can't play well. It's just it's winning the close ones. And those are – I mean, it's tough at this level because this league is so good from top to bottom. All right, let's talk, first of all, how your game has evolved since you first stepped on campus? What are the areas where you think that you've made quantum leaps in your contributions?
I kind of mentioned it previously, but on offense, I've had a bigger impact. I'm expected to score, not in the sense that Christine scores, you know, she's a super athlete, but keeping the offense in flow, knowing all the plays like the back of my hand, being able to hold other people accountable where they need to be, when they need to get places. Like I said, rebounds, setting really good screens, getting other people open, passing to Christine. Also on offense, I think our relationship has, when we're playing together, our relationship has a big impact. So learning how to utilize that, I think I've gotten a lot better at.
You come from a very athletic family. Everybody was involved or still is involved. Your siblings involved in playing basketball. And your parents, of course, your dad was a football player. Your mom is a Hall of Famer at Bakersfield in track and field. So I guess athletics has always been a big part of your life. When was it that you felt that basketball was going to be the best fit for you as opposed to maybe some other sport?
Right. So I have two older sisters who both played basketball. And I just wanted to do what they do. So in the beginning, I just followed whatever they did. And I played volleyball too. I threw the shot put for track. Mm-hmm. But basketball was just the best fit for me. I chose to play basketball more than I played volleyball or any other sport. I liked it the most. I was better at it than I was the other ones. And I got a lot more opportunities for basketball than any other ones.
Yeah. Let's talk about your interests outside of basketball here at Cal. We're going to talk to a couple of young ladies involved with the water polo team, and one of them said that water was always a part of her life, water polo or swimming. The other one said it was soccer, but they also have other interests as well. It's tough to be involved with some of these other interests, with the academic regime here, the practice time, the traveling, et cetera, but you're very much into art. So tell us where that came from and what is it that you like as far as expression?
Right. So I love art. That's my form of like mental therapy and mental health. I love art. But my oldest sister, she used to do art. She's really good at it. And she had an accident and she wasn't able to paint anymore. And so I kind of just found her stuff in the garage one day and started painting. And I ended up being pretty good at it. And it ended up just really being a way for me to express myself without having to use words. And I liked that a lot better and it helped me a lot. So yeah, I like to paint, draw. I also like to work with kids. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think this game is really awesome. But I'm involved in an internship program, a residency program, where I teach an art class to second graders. I did it last semester, working on it this semester too. And it's my goal for the class was like a little therapy session through art to kind of express your feelings and relating emotions to art and positive ways to express yourself.
So, and it's been a long time since I was a second grader, but what is art like in second grade?
You know, actually, I underestimated them because I would give them really simple, easy things. And they were like, okay, what else? Like, can we do something more? So I had each lesson, I had to come up with something a little bit more complicated, a little bit more challenging. But definitely, they really were interested in things with small steps and like a bunch of small steps. So like glue this bead here or draw a line here. So breaking up things into small steps and kind of more complicated and intricate things they really liked.
I mean, I was at one point in time what we called a playground instructor, you know, for, you know, everybody up to the age of 12, and it was tetherball and maybe hopscotch and things like, but there was arts and crafts, and I was just terrible at that stuff. I mean, I couldn't do pottery and all that kind of stuff, but it must be pretty rewarding for you to give them an assignment and then see it come to fruition.
Yeah, it's rewarding. At first, I don't know if they liked me at first, but I would give them an assignment and they would be like, no, I don't want to do it. But then a few weeks into it, they were like, oh, what are we going to do today? And they're really excited. And then they started to learn my name. And then we started talking about things other than the art class, like how was your day? How's school? So that was really rewarding to me too. But just to see them, most of them buy into what it was, not just as an art class, but as like, oh, we're relating this to our feelings or relating this to our emotions. Mm-hmm. So to see that work out in such young kids was really cool.
Have you seen a couple of second graders? You go, whoa, this person has a chance to be really good. They're creative. They kind of get it. Do you see that?
Yeah, I have seen that. We did one where we gave them just random pieces of random things that we found at a thrift store and told them to make their own self-portrait of themselves out of like that. And two girls sat there for the whole two-hour class and they were not talking at all. They were just heads down, completely focused. And it turned out really, really good, actually. And I was like, okay, guys, we're going to have to take pictures of this and show it to someone because it's really good.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, and that's a, you know, I was a teacher for a little while and it is rewarding when you give them an assignment, you give them some structure, but then you see them kind of go on their own and create, and it's rewarding. Those are the rewarding times as a teacher, and so you're kind of going through that right now with these kids.
Yes, I am.
Is it something that you would like to continue post-basketball career?
It is. It really is. I think I've learned a lot from this experience, and I want to kind of create my own program or my own nonprofit foundation that has something to do with working with kids in art or something like that.
You've also in conjunction with your sister into fashion as well.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I mean, it seems to be, I know in the family that I have, I have three ladies. I have my wife and I have the two daughters, and fashion's a big deal.
It is. It is. We love getting dressed up. We love makeup. And so when my dad tells us to go somewhere, it's me, my sister, my other sister, my mom, and then my dad. So we're going somewhere. We're going to need a little bit extra time to get ready.
Yeah. We're never on time for anything. Is that the case in your household?
Pretty much. Pretty much. But it's just, you know, makeup and getting dressed. And
how's dad fit in? I mean, is he a stylish guy?
He is pretty stylish. You know, sometimes we'll be waiting for him. He's trying to pick out a tie. But but yeah, he's stylish too.
Yeah, we've got our oldest daughter worked for Zara. I'm sure you've probably heard of them. She's their chief designer for accessories. And lives in Spain. And so when she was little, but probably like you and your sister and maybe some of the kids that you're working with, it was always about reading the fashion magazines. It wasn't, you know, this, that, or the other, but stacks of magazines in the house. And so for her, it paid off in the end result, and it looks like the same for you. I mean, were you a fashion magazine connoisseur growing up?
Well, kind of now, actually. Okay. If I go to Barnes & Noble to get books, I like reading, so if I get a book, I'm going to get a fashion magazine or an art magazine to take, too. But that's really cool.
Yeah. All right, so you got class starting up next week, you mentioned. Any particular class you're most looking forward to taking this term?
I took a class last semester. It's sociological theory. It's like a mandatory class for my major. But I'm taking the second half of that class this semester, and I'm kind of excited for it because I didn't expect myself to enjoy the last part, but I did a lot. So I'm excited for that.
Well, we're excited to watch you play this weekend against the Cougars and the Huskies. You play early on Friday against the Cougars, the Kids' Day. And then at 2 o'clock on Sunday, as the Bears will host the Washington Huskies. CJ, thanks for stopping by. Always good talking to you. You got a great personality and your energy, and good luck teaching as well, because that can be challenging at times, can it?
Thank you so much.
CJ West, junior from Bakersfield, as the Bears home this week against the Washington Schools. Joining me now on Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. With all the wet weather we have outside, it's kind of appropriate. We talk about water polo, where the young ladies joining me right now don't really care if it's raining or not outside. They're going to get wet one way or the other. Water polo season getting underway in a little over a week, week and a half, as the Bears will host the Cal Classic, I guess it is, the
Cal Cup.
Cal Cup, okay. So it's that time of the year. It's basically a winter / spring sport, and it's always been really successful here at Cal. It's one of the premier programs. And joining me today is Lauren Charter, who is a senior from Sacramento, who is a defender this year, and Claire Sonny, who is a sophomore from Laguna Beach in Southern California. This year is an attacker. Lauren, why don't we start with you, because you're a captain, but you got a little family tie here at Cal as well, don't you? Tell us about that.
I do. I'm the fourth generation here at Cal. My great-grandfather went here, my grandparents met here, and then raised my dad in Berkeley, and he played rugby here. So now I'm here.
Fourth generation, that's going back away, and this is the 150th anniversary of Cal, so that ties in as well. And Claire, you're from Laguna Beach. Tell us how you managed to matriculate to Cal.
All because of water polo, definitely. Cal's definitely been my dream school always, so certainly super exciting to get here. But yeah, I love Berkeley. Big change from SoCal for sure. A lot more rain, like you said.
Well, you get seasons up here. Down there, you get sun, and then occasionally you'll get a little a wetness, and occasionally it gets a little cooler there as well. Well, you said Cal's always been your school. Why was that the case?
You know, my brother went to SC. Maybe I was just trying to, you know, be different and rival or something. No, but really, I came here on a camp when I was younger for water polo and just kind of fell in love with the Berkeley atmosphere and just obviously it's a great program and have always wanted to be the best player I could be, and I knew that this program would take me there.
I always ask, you know, why is it that you're participating in the sport that you're involved with right now? What was it? When was it that – was it always water polo? Was it other things as well? And then water polo just kind of – came along and became popular for both of you. What was it that intrigued you about water polo?
I played soccer for 13 years before I started water polo. And on a whim, I just went to a camp in, I think, seventh grade. And I really liked it. And I think I was starting to get kind of burned out of running and stuff. So I transitioned to the pool. And that's how it started for me. So...
And then how about you?
I did swim team since I was like 5, I think, and surfed since the same age, and just kind of always loved the water, felt more comfortable there than anywhere else, kind of felt connected to it. And once I started water polo, I was like, no way am I going to be a swimmer. You know, water polo is way more fun. So just totally fell in love with it. And I just feel like it's obviously, like, in my opinion, the hardest sport. Mm-hmm. And I think it builds character more than anything, and it's just an amazing small community, and I just really love it. I wanted to mention too, me and Charter actually were at the same Cal water polo camp when we were young, and we didn't realize then, but we like found pictures recently and we're like, hey, like we were both there. So it's pretty funny that we both made it here after being there when we were young.
You know, you mentioned water polo being very difficult, and it is, because you're basically treading water or swimming at all times. Plus, you got to factor in a ball because that's different. The only other thing that I can compare it to is, as far as difficulty, might be in track and field. I always thought the 400 hurdles was really grueling, but that's only like 50 or 60 seconds, depending if you're male or female. But I always thought that was grueling because you got to run as fast as you can, but you got to jump over hurdles as well. But water polo, the other thing people don't realize about water polo is the physicality, the nature of the physicalness of the sport. And I'm not just talking about treading water, but you're treading water with somebody basically draped on you, right?
You are. Yeah.
How do you train for that?
A lot of legs, a lot of in the weight room, we're kind of working on our chest and being able to keep people away from you so you have enough time to kind of think where the ball needs to go without feeling too pressured having someone draped on you. I don't.
I feel like I could describe it as a mixture of rugby, wrestling, swimming, basketball, hockey, maybe all in one in the pool where you can't touch the bottom and you can only hold the ball with one hand. And like you said, you got people draped on you. So you certainly have to be very strong, very tough mentally and physically, and be comfortable in the water, which is not a natural thing for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's not like everyone knows how to run and walk, but swimming is and treading water is something else. So
now you've both played, you know, offense and defense. Now you've both kind of had the different roles throughout the course of your careers. Talk about the change that you've gone through, because I mean, anybody that plays offense plays some defense, and anybody that plays some defense is involved with the offense. But it's just the position in the pool. First, Lauren, tell us the change and what that was like for you.
Before the junior season started for me, I kind of wanted to try being a defender, mm-hmm. because to me, I think you have to see more of the field on defense than just being a perimeter defender. And I knew that I can see the game pretty well, and I've always loved defending our goal and making sure that the ball doesn't get into the back of the net. So, I tried defending, and I just wanted to see if I could outsmart the opponent's center. So,
have you had success at doing that?
I would say so.
All right, Claire, how about you?
You know, I feel like it's interesting because unlike a lot of sports, I think water polo is one that you pretty much, unless you're a goalie, you got to be able to play every single position because you're moving around all over the place. And even if I might be classified as an attacker, you know, I'll post up, I'll defend. Every single person has to be able to defend. So I think that, like, you have to be so versatile. And Lauren mentioned it, but you have to be really smart, too. And I think that it's so hard because you got to think while you're tired. And you have to be really have a high water polo IQ and be intelligent in that sense. But no, certainly love being an attacker, attacking that goal, trying to try to score the ball. No, it's fun, super fun.
Now, you guys have a team this year that's in transition a bit. I mean, you had a group of young women that were here and highly successful, not only here at Cal, but internationally as well. Tell us about the change this year. What can we expect out of the water polo squad this year?
Well, I think the returners, we're fortunate enough that we got to be on a team with those players and practice against them and compete with them every day at practice. So I think we are taking that same intensity that they taught us the past few years and trying to incorporate the new players and just come out really strong and continue that Bear legacy.
Has the emphasis, the style of play changed with the loss of three of the top 10 scorers in the history of the program?
You know, I think that from the outside, seeing that we lost those really successful seniors, Olympians, you know, it might look like it takes a big toll on the team, which I think it does. But I think that we, especially this year, will have so much of a focus on being a team more than just having talented individuals. And 10 times out of 10, I'd rather have, you know, the better team than the better group of players, you know, and I think that we're going to surprise a lot of people this year with how together we are and how much we play for each other. And I think that those intangibles make such a big difference.
And how exciting is it right now? I mean, you're 10 days, 2 weeks away from, you know, finally kind of getting in competition rather than practice. Practice only goes so far. You got to compete in the water against somebody else at some point in time. How excited are you right now to get this thing started?
I think we're ready to transition out of conditioning in our preseason and just get down to playing games and a lot of them and seeing what this group of girls is able to accomplish this year. So we're really excited.
Very excited. Yeah, no, definitely all those hours and hours in the pool of training, you know, this is what we do it for. And so getting a chance to play together and make some fun connections and dominate, yeah, we're excited.
All right, let's go away from the pool. You guys are involved, the water polo team's involved, this team impact, where you pair kids up with that have chronic illnesses with college sports team. Now, tell me how this works. I mean, I guess you guys had a draft last week, so to speak. So is it multiple kids that you're looking at? Is it player, kid, or is it the team takes on? How did that work?
Well, we got matched with our teammate, Brianna. She's 9 years old. Basically, Team Impact, the organization, partners a team with a kid. And we just welcome them onto our team. They can come to practices, dinners that we have, games. And you kind of just make them feel like they're part of our team. And we had our draft day last week, which was the official signing day for Brianna, where she signs a national letter of intent and agrees to join our team and follow our rules and really give herself over to the Cal community. So,
I mean, there's so much community work that the athletic department does team by team. It's really amazing to see something like this. How does it affect you when you see someone who's not got the same advantages that you have and yet is so anxious to be a part of what you guys are doing?
Yeah, you know, as much as this is exciting for Brianna and, you know, a really cool opportunity for her, I think that it is so much more for us. Like she, you know, seeing her overcome obstacles every single day and just is obviously such a fighter, like, it just, I think, gives the team a whole new perspective, because I think that it's easy to, you know, be frustrated by having a lot of training or being tired in that sense. But then you realize, like, hey, I am so lucky to have this opportunity, because there's a lot of people that can't physically. And so for us, I think that, like, having somebody with that strong of a heart and will, like, just shows us so much, and outside of the pool and inside of the pool, and having her support just means all the difference.
So when she's there, I mean, what are some of the things that you try to get her involved with as far as the team aspect, or just tell us, what are some of the things that you try to do?
Well, the past few times that Brianna has come to practice, she'll kind of be the ball girl. She goes and gets, like, the balls that we may miss the cage on. She's involved in our cheer that ends practice, and a group of girls took her to Yogurt Park, which is infamous here. So she really got a taste of being in Berkeley and being on our team. So
now you guys have done this before. This isn't the first year, I assume, correct?
No, this is actually the first time. Yeah, first year. So super cool opportunity for everybody. And so she's actually with us for two seasons. She signed to be with us for two years. So, yeah.
Well, hopefully she'll get a letter and get a varsity jacket and all that kind of good stuff as well. And
she's already got a pink Cal shirt. That's her favorite color is pink. So
what little girl's favorite color is not pink? I mean, come on now. But that's pretty cool. All right. So what she's involved. This is a great program. Again, we talk about some of the other we're going to talk to CJ West, or we did talk to CJ West a little bit earlier. They got their own community service kinds of. What is it like for you guys to be involved with community service here at Cal? Because you got academics, and that's hard. And you got, as you've already alluded to, training, games, travel, etc. I mean, how do you find time for the community service with all that other stuff going on?
I think it's just a very important aspect that we need to tap into. We're more than just students, and we're more than athletes. We, using the Cal name, can become something that really impacts a person's life. And I think that our team has gotten the chance to really go beyond just ourselves and our connections that we've made with the 25 girls and try to impact another young girl's life and shape her in a certain direction. So.
Well, I'm sure you have already, and I'm sure it'll be even more as the seasons progress. All right, what are the expectations this year in the water, you guys? What do you guys expect to get done?
Well, certainly our goal is to win a national championship, and we are working every single day towards that goal, and we are so excited to show what we can do in the water and win some big games and show who we really are and, like I said, surprise some people and do some big things.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. I think we want to just play the best Bear ball that we can every game, not let a game off. So,
well, the most important one is the next one, and that's all you can play is the very next one. And so that starts in a couple of weeks, a little less than 2 weeks, as the Bears will host the Cal Cup January 26th and the 27th. Thanks to Lauren Charter for being with us, and Claire Sony for being with us as well. Wish you guys the very best. And that wraps it up for another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Thanks to CJ West basketball team. They're at home this week against the Cougars. That's an early game on Friday morning. They do this every year. They got all these kids that come in. It's like a crazy scene at Haas Pavilion. So come on and support the team as they hope to get back on track. And Justice Suing, as the men's basketball team heads to Pullman on Thursday night to take on the Cougars, and then in Seattle to take on the Huskies Saturday at 2. I'm Todd McKim. Thank you very much for listening. And as always, bear in mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, go Bears!
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation